We have edited in John Legacy singing the Ballad of a Navigator.
And the rest of you can read the rest of that downstairs. But Lauren, we want you to have that, and we'll expect a performance on your 70th anniversary with the Navigators.
Right.
Thanks.
Right.
Good. Well, let's just stand together and sing Channels Only, Blessed Master.
How I praise Thee, precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power, flowing through us, Thou canst use us, every day and every hour. Emptied that Thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in Thy hand, with no power but as Thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power, flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every day. to sing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin. Thou who broughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts at full surrender now. Let the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Great. You may be seated. As many of you know, Channels Only, Blessed Master is one of Lorne's very favorite songs. And it's really a blessing to celebrate with Lorne and Lucy this time. But we wanted this to be a two-way street. I had Lucy scheduled for 18 minutes, she told me, but then I know I'd have to live with that right afterwards. And so we have asked Lorne tonight to come and to share with us some reflections, some observations on what God has done in the past, and to open the door for him to share anything with us that God has put on his heart for this special time. So, Lorne, please come and share with us.
Well, Jim Downing, this is better than one's own funeral. For two reasons, really. This is funnier than I think the average funeral would be. And secondly, I don't intend to be present at my own. So it's nice to be here to listen to this. I think it was Rod Sargent that first and only time I heard someone him say, on occasion something like this, said, "Oh, I wish my parents could have been here. My dad would have been so proud, and my mother would have believed every word." I, too, have a journal. My daughter, Jean, helping declutter my files, came across this. Friday, September 5, 1941. Decided to work with Trotman. Saw Lucy in the evening. Can you think of anything more important? Saturday, still felt led to work with DET. So with Lucille, I called her at that time, and a friend, sent telegram to DET. That was the 6th. 4 days later, arrived in Los Angeles. Didn't take long to pack in those days. Didn't have much to pack. I well remember that 50 years ago today. I arrived in Los Angeles on the train, where I was met by two sailors, whom I had never met before, nor they me. We stood at the back of a streetcar as it clattered its way out to the Trotman residence where I was to live. There was relative silence for quite a while as they looked me over. Then one of them spoke up and said, "Scar on the forehead, broken nose, crooked teeth, you'll make a navigator." Only time I ever heard those criteria used. The navigators of those days were rough and ready. Dawson asked for rugged soldiers of the cross, and he got them. The same week I arrived, a national magazine, now defunct, called Collier's, was published 50 years ago this month, September 13, 1941. 5 cents, 7 cents in Canada. In the front here it says, in the list of articles, Walter Davenport, Onward Christian Sailors, Why Satan Can't Join the Navy. And then there was this article entitled Onward Christian Sailors, showing Dawson Trotman and a sailor. And I well remember that he was very insistent that that particular plaque show in the picture. Remember that, Lila? And now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And if you can't see it from there, that's the pose. It says, they pray as they work. They sing unto the Lord as they go down to the sea. They rejoice with left hooks when men revile them. I didn't really know what I was walking into when I got off the train that day. Then it says, four sailors, trim as new sloops. Well, I missed out on that criteria. But with their faces set in grim lines, were about to go ashore. Under their arms, clamped tight to their ribs, they carried Bibles. Just before they descended into the cutter, one of them, a little taller than the others, paused. We'd guess he was 25 years old. His sharp, weathered face lifted toward the clean, cool sky that domed San Francisco Bay. His eyes closed, his lips moved. His companions bowed their heads. The silent prayer lasted but a moment, and then all four went ashore, stern, aloof, resolute. That's the kind of guys that met me at the train that day. And I was a smooth-cheeked 20-year-old civilian. And I was not one of that bunch. And nor did I ever become one. Actually, to this day, I am a second-generation navigator. Doss founded the work, and Jim Downing was recognized as the leader of the navigators in the fleet in those days. And the navigators had been going for 8 years by the time I landed that day, 50 years ago today. And I'll just be forever grateful to Dawson, to Lila, to Jim, Marina, and to those early pioneers for launching the ministry that's my privilege to have had a part in these last 50 years. And then tonight I owe so much to so many. One of the highlights of our lives was 40 years ago when we had a home in Pasadena. In those days, the office had grown a bit, so the gals lived with the Trotmans and the guys lived with Lucy and me. And we had 8 guys in our home there one time. And 5 of those are with the Lord now. Bob and Will Hopkins, Bill Michael, George Kripe, and Rod Sargent. And the other 3 are here tonight, Cecil Davidson, John Crawford, and Hank Dawson. And also Eileen Dawson, who was helping Lucy at that time. But I can go on, Millie, secretary for one guy for 38 years. She was called of God, not to help me, but she was called of God to be secretary, and fortunately helped me. I look around here, and I just couldn't stop naming folks. What Bob Foster meant to me, and Marion, I shouldn't even start it because... Well, 2 reasons. I can't see too well against the light, and I'm a little nervous to be on top of that. But I reflected a good deal on this evening tonight, and as I look back over the years, I see some steel threads that have held it all together. And those threads are specific words from God for me, my family, and the navigators. So my text for this occasion, I've chosen from Proverbs 30, verse 5, in the RSV. And I'd like to etch the first part of this verse on your heart and mind before we leave tonight. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Now, I want to share in this next little while just a few of those specific words from God that have been these steel threads as I look back over these years. Now, most of them are from the Old Testament. And just a word to a few who are nervous about taking promises from the Old Testament. I remind us that you know very little of the Bible is written to us, but it's made very clear that it's all written for us. And secondly, when you have an Old Testament scripture that's corroborated by a New Testament principle, you know you're on good ground. Now, there are a lot of promises and words in the Bible that we get every day. They're just part of our everyday life. But these few things that I want to share tonight are in another category. And there the tone of the meeting shifts a little bit. Because these come out of struggle. And I have here a poem that I've got years ago from Horatius Bonar that expresses better than I could what I mean when I say how this kind of thing I want to share comes. It's called Great Truths. Great truths are greatly won, not found by chance, nor wafted on the breath of summer dream, kind of lightly didn't come that way, but grasped in the great struggle of the soul, hard buffeting with adverse wind and stream, grasped in the day of conflict, fear and grief, when the strong hand of God, put forth in might, plows up the subsoil of the stagnant heart and brings the imprisoned truth seed to light. Run from the troubled spirit in hard hours of weakness, solitude, perchance of pain. Truth springs like harvest from the well-plowed field. And the soul feels it has not wept in vain. I thought that we get down a little bit deeper here to the things that really down deep inside you don't hang on to for dear life, but they have you. There are steel threads, some specific words that have held me, my family, and my part of the Navigators these 50 years. The first is in Joshua chapter 1. This is the last part. Within a week after arriving at the Trotman home, my boot camp began. I may have missed it in the Navy, but I began to feel I hadn't missed it in civilian life. Now, Dawson couldn't stand for anyone to do less than their best. I am embarrassed to say that the first instruction I got was to change my socks. Doss, about a week, he said to me one day, he said, Sandy, how often do you change your socks? Oh, I said, about once a week. I came from the farm where a bath Saturday night and change your clothes, that was the way you did it. And I couldn't tell the difference myself. He said, well, LaRue, who's now Charlie Riggs' wife, who's working for Lila, can't get close to them. You need to change your socks every day. Well, I admit I needed that. And I had a long way to go. But down in the office, one of my jobs was in the print shop, and we had a hand-fed press that we'd put in stationery and letters and so on. And Doss would come back to check. And those of us who were around those days know it's uncanny. He could reach into a stack of stationery that high, pull out just one, and it's the only one in the whole bunch where it was crooked. I didn't know if the Lord helped him or the devil. I felt it was the latter. And I began to feel like I'd do 9 things right, 1 thing wrong. What did I hear about? The 1 thing that was wrong. And I began to chafe under this. And then I'd console myself with verses like Lamentations 3:27. It's good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. And that lasts me about a day and a half. So the following summer, after I had arrived on that September day, we had a conference up at Hume Lake. One afternoon, I got out on a big boulder on the edge of that lake and said, Lord, I'd like to leave. But I'll do what you want. Would you show me if I should go or stay? And through a series of events about serving and so on, I got back here to Joshua 1. The last part. I wasn't thinking about being his successor or any of that kind of thing. I was thinking one thing, that I was being bruised and I didn't want to take it much longer. At least I thought I was being bruised. The Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. And I remember how clearly it came. I want you to be a servant. So I said out loud, I said, Lord, okay, I'll be his servant if it means shining his shoes. And you know, that afternoon I was delivered from servitude to Dawson. I was set free to serve him, either without pretense, without resentment. And you know, that thread, that specific word from God just kept me steady the next 14 years until he died. I shudder to think of what I would have missed. And I might ask you, is the going tough where you are? You had about enough you'd like to get out? Oh, you better ask God first. He may have better plans. And when you ask him, wait for a word from him. Because when you get a word from him, it puts steel in your soul. It puts something in the fabric of your life that holds it together. And you don't have to refight that battle every day. Not that it was always easy, but you've got that one settled. Then there was Isaiah 60:22, the theme that the committee chose for this occasion. I heard just last week that somebody figured there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. There are 1,000 in the book of Isaiah alone, said this person. Well, a little one should become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. I love that because it takes us back to 1 Corinthians 1, where God has chosen the foolish and the weak and the insignificant, and even the despised, to confound the wise, the strong, the celebrities, and the big ones. And again in Isaiah 51:2, where God says, "When I took Abraham when he was but one, and I made him many." God loves to take a nobody and make him somebody for himself. I just love it. But at that time, I really didn't know it yet. 22, Lucy and I were married. When I was 22, we were married. When I was 23, she was 22, we were sent to Seattle for our first area assignment. And I'll tell you, I didn't know beans when the bag was open. I was sent up there to work with the military. And my first start with the military wasn't too thrilling. And I think that picture shows about all the military I'd ever reached while I was up there. I don't know, except one guy. Well, I didn't know what to do, but I didn't know how to work with high school kids. Because that's what Doss had put me doing when I first came. So I found 9 high school boys, and I began to meet with them in a little club, and Lucy took the girlfriends. And we did what we could. And you know, those boys have since served God on 4 continents. And just 2 weeks ago, Jack Wirtson sent me a book about one of those boys, Pete Fleming, who'd been killed among the Alki Indian by the Alki Indians. And this was just published last year. And he sent it to me. He said, "Lorne, your name's in here." Well, I wasn't too eager about that much. Thought I'd read what it says. During Pete's high school years, one man in particular profoundly influenced his growth as a Christian. His name was Lorne Sanney, who came to Seattle to direct a relatively new Christian organization, the Navigators. And I kind of like this part because the basics are still basic. Listen to this. Pete joined a Bible study group Lorne had started for Christian high school boys. As they studied the Word together, memorized Scripture, Pete learned the importance of personal Bible study, became more disciplined in his lifestyle, and soon had committed hundreds of verses to memory. His life took on new depth and meaning, and he became more intentional in witnessing to his friends. But I can hardly believe it. That little club of guys, here 35 years later, his life is still multiplying. A little one should become 1,000, and a small and a strong nation. Why? Because God said so. The Lord will hasten in his time. I will do it. And every word of God proves true. And of course, there was Charlie Riggs. I'd been sent there to do military work. And I didn't know what to do, so I just had a Bible study for military people, but only one guy showed up. And I won't repeat that whole story, but there's a second lieutenant in the Army. I remember Dawson called me and said, "How's it going?" I said, "Terrible, the military part." He said, "Why? What's that? What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I've only got one guy that shows up from my Bible study." I never forget what he said. "Pour your life into him." And I did. And you know, he's been multiplied. He's touched hundreds of thousands. This guy. Now, look, I didn't see it then. I didn't see the potential of those boys. I didn't see the potential of Charlie Riggs. But now looking back, I see the truth of Isaiah 60:22, that a little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation. And so, through the years, it has now become a steel thread in the fabric of my vision and ministry. And I get excited about it. You know, Zechariah 4:10 says, "Who has despised the day of small things?" Don't. After all, Dawson started with 6 junior high boys and later 1 sailor. So start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. And watch God multiply it beyond your fondest dreams. I've been very worried about this talk, because seeing pictures and listening, I got so much flooding my mind, I have worked 3 days to cut it down. And you'll pardon me if I check my notes out here to make sure I'm staying with them pretty close, especially since I'm having a little more trouble reading them these days. Yeah, I want to tell you about another one. Isaiah 44:3. When I was 30, I'd been loaned by Dawson to the Billy Graham team. We came down from Seattle, then to San Francisco, and then Dawson asked me to come back to headquarters, and I thought, oh no, I'm going to get stuck at headquarters. Only to get assigned to the Billy Graham team, and so from the age 30 to 35, I was gone 9 months a year, and I would have liked to have been stuck at headquarters just a little bit more. And many times, I remember gone 3 months, home 5 days, gone 3 months. In those days, you didn't fly home for a long weekend. In fact, you didn't even call more than once a week. It was just different. In fact, I remember when we were kids, we lived in Modesto, 14 miles from Turlock. You'd plan a day's trip and take a lunch to make that trip. So, you know, times have changed. Well, while I was on a 6-month stay in Britain, I got to spend a day on the shores of Loch Lomond in Scotland. Now, as a kid in Iowa growing up, I didn't even know a loch was a lake. Maybe you didn't either. A loch is a lake, incidentally. And there I sat that afternoon. I had come over in the last of December. I wasn't going to get home till about June. Judy had been born in February.
Shouldn't have looked at you, Jude. I'm sorry. I this has been a problem my whole life, so some of my friends, forgive me, I know it embarrasses people. I'm okay. I'm not going to fall apart here. But I was sitting out on the shore there, and I was praying that day, and I got thinking about the kids. I love Tom and Bev and Chuck, and I named them. I thought, you know, I love Judy too. And I'd never seen her. And I realized that that's when love is a thing of the spirit, not of the body. Then I said, Lord, what are you going to do? I've been gone so much. I've been told that they might grow up to serve the devil. And some of these dire warnings that were given me, and yet Lucy and I felt this is what God wanted us to do. And I always felt that they were supportive. But that afternoon, and I've got it marked in my Bible here, the Lord reinforced what he'd said a year before. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy children and my blessing upon thine offspring. Good thing I memorized it because I still haven't found it. Yeah. They shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, etc., etc. And I know from Acts chapter 2 that I can claim that today. In fact, for you who might see a tape of this later, let me just read that to you as soon as I find it. I had it today. You all want to stand up and stretch a minute while I find this verse? Oh, yeah, I've got it listed here. What do you know? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, etc. Today is the day of the Holy Spirit. And God promised he would pour out his spirit upon them. He would pour water upon him that is thirsty. He would bless them and pour out. That doesn't mean that they can't say no. They can. But I believe that when the Holy Spirit is at work, he goads them so it's easier for them to say yes than to say no. And as a result, my 70th birthday party last November, which I wished I had time to describe, but there's no way, was the most significant single event of my lifetime, as I've seen the effect of promises of God on that family. And some of them are here, and they'll acknowledge that that's true. Every word of God proves true. But I have to stop here just for a moment. I know that there are some of you, and some watching, like wayward children, and some real heartaches. And I want to give you another scripture. Isaiah 49:25. And I prayed that out of the 44:3 and 49:25, and still do, almost daily. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible, that's of the devil, shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Now there's a war on. There is a battle on, but the war is not over. The last chapter has not been written. And we've got some promises God has got. Sure, they can still say no. But I'd say, again, it's going to be easier for them to say yes than to say no. So hang in there. And I trust that some of you, and I know that some of you need this, that somehow or other God might speak to you deep down in your soul and give you a steel thread that will help you last through the years of endurance that sometimes is necessary. But every word of God proves true, and he is a refuge to those that trust him. Well, I've just got a few minutes, but I think it's warm and you're little. Well, let's stand up a second. There are a couple of more things I'd like to say. Stretch a bit if you'd like, and take your coat off if you want. I won't, because my suspenders don't match my shirt too well. Okay, you may be seated. In June of 1956, as we know, Dawson died. He was only 50. You remember he died while rescuing someone else from drowning. And I'll never forget Time Magazine's article in which they had his picture. And under the picture was the caption, "Always holding someone up." The way he died was the way he lived for others, holding them up. And one of those somebodies was me. And for some reason or other, he took a liking to me. In fact, one Christian leader once said to me, "You know, I always wondered what Dawson saw in you." He's not the only one. I was standing right here some years ago, and I was introduced as the president of the Navigators, and somebody said, "You're the president of the Navigators?" I said, "Yes, you seem surprised." "Well, I am. What did you expect?" And they went, "Well," I said, "I've been working on that for years." Do you know how I found out I was to succeed Dawson? I was 28 years old, sitting in the banquet. Dawson was going on his first round-the-world trip. And there were 200 people there. It was a fundraiser. And right in the middle of his talk, he said, "If anything happens to me on this trip, the one that's to take over my place is that young man right down there, Lorne Sanny." Me. Well, I knew it would never happen. I knew that. I just knew it never happened. But 7 years later, it did. And after the funeral, here in the Great Hall, and the memorial service down the Methodist Church, and those Christian leaders, and there were a lot of them, had gathered, had a dedication service over in the Pink House. I'm not sure, but I think Bob Foster was behind this. But it was for Lila, Lucy, and me. And Dr. Edmund, then president of Wheaton, read the scripture. And he turned to Joshua, the first chapter. And he began to read. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying," and my mind flashed back to Hume Lake 14 years before. And I thought, this is for me. It goes on down here. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And I don't share this much, but I think there's something about by faith putting your foot on the place. And I've walked around many a ship, many a base, a college campus, and claiming them for God on the basis of verse 3. I remember the time that you and I, when the Air Force Academy first moved down here, we went over there in that overlooked parking lot, and we prayed and claimed that God would raise up laborers in the Air Force Academy. Or times from hotel rooms or even from airplanes flying over and looking down and praying that God would raise up laborers and perhaps through the Navigator ministry in that country. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you." And Dick Hillis told me after that dedication that night, Bob, he said, "I'll tell you, Lorne, at a time like this, there is an anointing that never departs unless you send it away." And then Art Glasser, also a leader, said to me, "Lorne, I'll guarantee you one thing. Leaders are always challenged. You will always be challenged. But God prepared me for that in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I can't explain that. All I can say is that there it is. That's what came, and it has been like a steel thread that sustained me all these years down through today. I've been upset with guys as they have with me, but never afraid of them. Well, this message was to Joshua, but it was for me. And so that leads me to the most important experience of my life. And so I know now when my conclusion will come. It's after this point. 5 years later, when I was 40, I entered a midlife crisis, but I didn't know what it was. If I'd have known it, I would have felt better about it and felt that I deserved it. In fact, I went and talked to Bob Foster, if he remembers, and said, Bob, I said, I feel purposeless, aimless. I don't know what I want to do. The fire is gone. And he was the first person that told me there was such a thing that men sometimes go through. So I thought, well, if I'm going to go through that, let's make it profitable. So I asked Rod to take over the administration of the work, which he did, and I decided to take enough time with the Lord till I felt that I got some new promises from God. The things I had set had already now been accomplished. And so I said to the Lord, you know, I want you to speak to me. Lauren Sanney, private citizen, not the president of the Navigators, just this farm boy from Iowa. And I want you to call me by name. I don't know how I was going to do that, but I want to know for sure that you've spoken to me. And I want to just pull things out of the air. And I avoided the book of Isaiah because that's where Doss got his promises, and I wanted my own. Well, I remember I was sitting over in the Garden of the Gods about a month into this time, maybe a little longer. And I was reading Isaiah 53 about the Lord's death and thinking about what that meant. And then how poor a witness I was. And I said to the Lord, you know, I am so sorry. I am one of the poorest witnesses in the Navigators. In fact, when I get phone calls asking me to come and speak on witnessing, I always turn them down. So I said, Lord, I'm barren. I really am. I'm most barren one of the Navigators. And I'm going on like this. And then I decided I'd read on a little bit. And the next chapter starts out, sing, O barren. It was almost as though the Lord said, okay, you asked me to call you by name. You've given yourself one. We'll use that one. Barren. So, okay. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Okay, so you're barren, you're fruitless. Comparatively, break forth into singing. Don't moan about it. Brighten up here. And cry aloud, thou that didst not prevail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. You're going to break forth on the right hand and on the left. In fact, it's going to be the whole world. And that's what Jim Downing was talking about. But then I thought, it says here, let them. Who's the them? Them. It certainly isn't going to be me. Who's the them? And it says here in the third verse, thy seed. I thought, spiritual seed. So I began to follow this word seed. And that led me over into Isaiah 43, back a few chapters. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. You can exchange your life for people. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You know, you get myself in a box here. Something I want to say that I think I shouldn't say it, and then other people say, well, why don't you say it? I have flown 3 or 4 million miles. I was scared the first 300,000. I know what it's like to hold your breath all the way from New York to London. I mean, you got to hold that plane up. And I hated it, and I'd hate to leave home. And I remember I said, Lord, would you deliver me? And he didn't at that time. I said, well, if this has got to be, would you consider it as dying a little bit? And use it as an investment that will produce in other people. And I believe he did that. And then it says, fear not, for I am with thee. I'll gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. That's who the them are. All over the world. Now that's an awfully big thought for a chubby guy from the Iowa farm. I knew Doss had big visions. Now God is talking to me. And I thought, yep, thank you. About a week later, I was up at Eagle Lake talking with a pastor, Ray Ortland. And I was telling him about this, that this is going to happen. And I looked down on Eagle Lake, and there was a boat down there, and two guys were fishing. In the back of it was Dagfinn Sæther from Norway, and the front was Jimmy Choo from Singapore. I said, look, right down there. There's the east and the west. A little microcosm right there, what God's going to do. And 19 years later, we had our International Leadership Conference here at the Glen. There are 165 people here, and Donald gave me the information. 164 from 36 countries of ministry, of 21 nationalities. East, west, north, pardon me, and the south. And to me, a fulfillment of a specific word from God 19 years before. It's first-hand evidence to me that every word of God proves true. Well, when I was approaching 65, I prayed the Lord might let me leave this work on track and in good hands. Well, it's on track, and it's in good hands. As far as the future for me is concerned, it's Philippians 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Just a little aside, some of you, I'm a little jittery about not looking at these verses. You remember we had a banquet at the Broadmoor, 1,000 people, and I couldn't remember John 3:16. Remember that? But this is it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived either in Christ-like character, nor have I yet arrived in the contribution, full contribution, that God wants me to make in his kingdom. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, not living in the past, learning from them, but not living in them, I reach forth unto those things which are before. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's where we go. Words can't say how much Lucy and I appreciate this evening. I had grave misgivings. I've been honored a good deal. And I know that unless one remains humble, you're finished. But I also know by the time I go to bed tonight, the devil, having heard this talk, there'll be a little battle at the foot of the mountain. So, it's reality. Thank you so very, very, very much. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Lauren, and the Lord bless you and Lucy. And your contribution has not been made either in the Navigators yet. There's much to be done, and we can meet in the next few weeks and talk more about that. We have been. And God is certainly going to use Lauren and Lucy for many years to come. I think I also want to really thank each of the children of the Sani family and appreciate what you have done to contribute to Lauren's ability to be able to do what he did. It has been a sacrifice, and all of us that travel know that, and we want to appreciate you also. Tonight we'd like to close our time together before we have Bob Foster come and pray with a song that I think expresses what we're talking about tonight, Find Us Faithful, and Peter Mayberry is going to sing. And Bob, would you just pray?
To God's sustaining grace, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us run the race behind us, the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all come behind us, find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their that we leave, lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they uncover and the memories they discover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Good. Boy, you can sing.
I'm sure the same verse is running through your mind. Most men proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I'm not sure the thrust of the prayer at this time, whether it's for the food and the fellowship that's to follow, whether it's for Jim Peterson and the selection of his ties. I think most of us can identify with Lauren's steel threads. So many of us have used cotton or hemp or something to hold the thing together. And we thank you, Lauren, for sharing. Leadership does not come from the title, but from the inner life. And he has shared with us his heart. Barrenness is the name that most of us could understand tonight. So let's stand and commit to the Lord that which the Spirit of God is doing in our hearts right now. Father, thank you for this lovely evening, for the family, for those who would have loved to have been here, but ministry decreed that they be out there on the firing line. We pray for those who are hurting tonight, for those who have sickness and affliction, for those who have children that are in need, for those who are under the duress of finances. And how many times here in the great hall we have joined our hearts together, reaching around the world, not just for our family of the Navs, but for the family of God. How good it was tonight to hear from the little one, the small one, that you have been pleased to use in such a wonderful way in all of our lives. And with him and Lucy and their family, we would say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Take that which we have heard tonight, the fun that we've had, the humor, the stories, the sharing, the music, penetrate our hearts. Wend us back to our homes safely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to have a time of fellowship down in the King James Room. And Lauren and Lucy, let's give you a little chance to slip out right now, if you would, and head down there. And any of you who did not have a chance to sign that guest book, would you please do it downstairs? So thank you for being with us. And